Hey everybody, it's Charles from the Barbershop Group Podcast.
And this is Riley.
Riley, today, man, we've got some stuff going on. I've been waiting to have this conversation with you. It's a little bit of payback from last year. If you guys have not heard, you know it. If you guys have not heard, Riley just take it to me over Philadelphia winning the Super Bowl, man. I mean, he took it to me really bad. But we know that New England hasn't won yet. But I am a New England Patriots fan, but I'm also a Rams fan. Now, I used to be more of a Rams fan when they were in St. Louis, but I guess I can't control all of that. So anyway, Riley, man, today, you know what? I feel like it's a good time to talk a little bit about Brady and sports and the mind in general. I was reading an article last week and they were talking about Brady, and it seems like every time Brady gets to the Super Bowl, people want to know, how did he get this good? Like, how does he stay at the top of his game? And I got to thinking about it myself. I'm like, dude, what really goes into to an athlete like Brady, who just year after year after year, despite hair getting gray and bones getting older, is able to stay at the top of his game the way he does? I don't have the answer. People like to say, well, it's Belichick or it's this or it's that. But is there one thing in particular that makes him so good?
I think no is the short answer. I don't think there's one thing. I think there's a lot of things that all, you know, just align just the right way. And I'd like to throw out there also for the listeners that Charles is just a little bit sensitive. I didn't really dish it to him last year with the Eagles beating the Patriots. But you know what's funny is that this could potentially be back-to-back years that the Patriots lose.
That they lose.
The Super Bowl. Yeah, and honestly, they should have lost the year before that. The Falcons, they didn't win the game. The Falcons lost the game. I'd like to point out that out too. But okay. Anyway, okay, back to Tom Brady. So first of all, I went to grad school in Massachusetts, which meant that I was in Patriot territory, and I rubbed elbows with a lot of Patriot fans. And so I have a little bit of insight into the fans' perspective, having spent some time up there. But it was around that time, I think, that his book came out. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. It might just be called TB12 or the TB method, something like that. I'll see if I can find it real quick. But regardless, Tom Brady and I think his trainer have this method, I guess, that they put together. His like personal trainer, nutritionist, that kind of person. So it's called the TB12 method, how to achieve a lifetime of sustained peak performance. So that's probably your cheat sheet right there.
Right.
we have no affiliate links set up, but maybe we could make that happen.
That's right.
So I think that he, and so to a disclaimer, I haven't read the book, so I don't know what's in it. I have some friends who have, and I imagine that he goes into all the details of what works for him. But first and foremost, I think that something that needs to be said that is not said enough is what works for one person does not necessarily work for somebody else. What works for one person might not work for you. And what works for you might not work for somebody else either, or that other person. But I think that specifically when we're talking about Tom Brady, you know, there's not one thing. Like I said, there's so many things. I mean, everyone's talking about when's he going to fall off the cliff. And if you can't tell, I'm passionate about this. Football is my favorite sport, so I can talk football all day. But he's what, 40, 41 now, 42?
Yeah, something like
and,
that.
And, you know, talking about when's he going to fall off the cliff, when's he going to retire, yada, yada. And I mean, if you really watch him, I mean, some of his physical skills, I think, are declining. And the reason that you can tell is, like, he can still put a ball deep, but I was also a throwing coach for track and field, so I know a little bit about the throwing mechanics. And he has to, the reason that I think, my personal opinion of why the reason that Brady falls apart when he's under pressure is because the reason he's able to throw a ball deep or throw a ball accurately is because he knows how to put his body in the right position. He can't just rely on, like, if you watch Patrick Mahomes or these young bucks that just sidearm sling it, like, he can't do that. Yeah. Maybe he could at one point in his career, but he cannot do that anymore. If he does, that's when you see it waffling and it's like an injured duck, like
one of those ducks,
hitting the ground, right? And so that's the thing, is he knows the mechanics. He puts time into learning technique. As far as like injury and prevention, I mean, I think that's a big thing that he talks about in his book, is like, is how much nutrition goes into that and preparation, right, recovery. And I mean, he just has he pays attention to all the details. And that is commitment at the very least, and quite honestly, more likely it's obsessive.
Right.
But really, I think that's what it takes, you know, and that's what I think more people should spend time on, is having the conversation, is, are you willing to commit? Like, are you willing to put in what it takes? And if you say no, there's no shame in that. Like, if I wanted to work with a professional baseball team as a sports psychologist, I have a friend who does.
Yeah.
He's never home. Okay. He's flying all over the country and like the minor league teams and this and that. And that, it's cool. It sounds awesome. And he loves his job. But for, would I want to do that? No, no, thank you. Like, I like being at home. I like spending time with friends and family. You know, like, I don't, you gotta think about what it actually takes. And Tom Brady has a perfect setup because he's got friends and family behind him supporting him, and
right,
he loves it. He looks like a kid in a candy shop when he won that the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh my God, he was 5 years old.
Yep. Yeah, like he'd never done it before.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Right.
I know it, man. So yeah, and that's Tom Brady. And I hear you saying that, you know, what works for one person doesn't work for everybody else. But I'm gonna throw out a few more people because I just see like this commitment thing kind of developing. So we were also talking about LeBron James, and as you guys know, if you're sports fans, you guys know that LeBron has been out or was out for a while. He'll probably be back on the court by the time you guys hear the podcast. But you could really see a difference in the Lakers when LeBron is not around. And when LeBron's not around, it's like
any team when LeBron's not around.
And that's to my point, is you really, if people don't know what they have when LeBron's there, they definitely know what they have when he's missing, right? But LeBron was another guy that I would pay attention to and follow, man, and just kind of see the work that he would put in the offseason and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, I see the physical work that you're putting in, but mentally what's going on? Because I know your body's getting older. So what is it that you are focusing on? What are you doing with your mind to maintain that high level of performance, right? You know, there are a lot of guys out there who are doing a lot of neat tricks to keep their bodies in shape, but how are you getting your mind ready for this? Like, that's the thing that I'm looking at now is, you know, I was a former athlete, and, you know, I remember at about 33, 34 years old, man, my body was like, no, buddy, you can't do this anymore. Okay. And when my body said no, it messed with my mind. I don't know if it was the mind telling my body or my body telling my mind, but the two communicated.
Yeah.
And they were in agreement, and they were like, you're not doing this anymore. So what happens? How does the mind get past the body's limitations like that?
Oh my gosh. There's so many. This isn't like a one question, one answer kind of conversation. This is like, there's a whole field on it. I mean, this is what I got multiple degrees in, you know, studying psychology, sports psychology. And so,
but this is why I'm asking you.
Yeah. But so I'm trying to think about how can we keep, you know, this is our podcast. I mean, we love you guys, the listeners, but I don't think that you'd want to sit and listen. Hey, if you do want to sit and listen for 2 hours and talk about this, please tell us, hit us up. We can set up a separate time and call, maybe just off air. But listen, it's kind of the same answer. And so when we're talking about like the physical pieces, we talk about, you know, there's not one right, like when it comes to nutrition, like what your body needs and craves is going to be slightly different than mine, or maybe a lot different than mine, you know?
Okay.
And same thing when it comes to like recovery and, your body's like, you know, there's certain, weights that our bodies are just accustomed to be like, we're drawn towards. Yeah. So like if you're having trouble losing weight, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons that can go into that. But also, like, you have a set point that your body's just kind of like, that's where your metabolism's at. That's where that, and it doesn't mean you can't change it, but it's just like some people, it just seems like it clicks because maybe they were 210 pounds, but their body really wanted to be like 190, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, it's easier because as soon as you cut the crap and start just like living a normal lifestyle, normal compared to what your body's expecting, you know, like that you're not eating in excess or whatever, you're actually like being a little bit active, then your body just goes to its set point. So,
got you.
But anyway, when you're talking about the physical abilities, you know, there can be, it can be systemized a little bit, you know, okay. Like when you look at like exercise science and working out and those sorts of things, I'm sure, you know, Charles, like you had a workout program. If you did it,
yeah,
you get better. You get, right. You know, like if right. you, it's not really, I mean, there's different kinds of workout programs, but like you find the one that's like, that fits. If you want to be a sprinter, there's certain things like you should probably do some sprints, right? Or you want to be a lineman, you're probably going to have to do some like some heavy lifting.
Right.
But when it comes to the mindset stuff, it's even more so like there really is no one right way. I think the only thing that I would see that's consistent across the board is, so I'm not sure if we talked about this yet on this podcast. This might be a first, but the idea of grit, are you familiar with grit and Angela Duckworth?
Mm-hmm.
Angela Duckworth, for the listeners that don't know, is a researcher out of UPenn who is in positive psychology, and she coined the term grit and defines it as passion, perseverance towards long-term goals. Did all these experiments with West Point and like a national spelling bee and all this stuff to link grit to different levels of success. And there's kind of a little bit of backlash a few years after that was kind of attacking the passion piece, saying that really it was the perseverance. So we were talking about, right? That level of commitment.
Right.
That's really more of a stronger indicator. But if you really think about it, how are you possibly going to be committed to something that you just don't care about?
Yeah, I hear you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of different mindset strategies and you know, mental performance strategies like imagery and goal setting and this and that and all these skills and habits that you can set up for yourself. But like when it comes down to it, you have to have that awareness of who you are, what you need, and what you're interested in. Like if you're not passionate about basketball, then trust me, LeBron's not playing.
Right.
You know, like he's got to love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I guess today's the day for sports, man. Last summer sometime, I was in Niagara Falls, just kind of checking that out. And we ended up in a convenience store there, kind of like a Walgreens, and I can't remember the name of it. But, whenever there are books around, I get lost in the books. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I go to where the books are. And I saw a book on the shelf there, and I was like, wait a minute, that looked interesting. Now, this is going to sound really bad, guys, but again, I'm in Niagara Falls, Canada, okay? So, I'm there looking at this book, and I'm like, whoa, all right, that guy looks familiar. And I get closer to the book, and I noticed that one of the guys on the cover of the book is this hockey player that I happen to follow on Instagram. And, it looked like it was his dad there. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. I know that guy. Well, I don't know that guy, but I follow that guy and he's a hockey player. And then I learned, oh, well, doggone it. He's from here. He's from Toronto. How about that? And that was one of the reasons why the book was on the shelf was because it was like, hey, here's a local guy who made it in the NHL. And we happen to, think very highly of him. So his name is P.K. Subban. And his dad, Carl, wrote a book called How We Did It. I think it's a longer title. I want to say How We Did It, A Plan for Success in Life, Hockey and Something Else. Yeah, Hockey, School, and Life. And interesting family because the P.K.'s mother and father are Jamaican. They immigrated to Canada some time ago and raised a family there. And so, the book, I just kind of, browsed through it and picked up some things. And I learned that it's not just PK who was in the hockey, but he also had brothers who were successful hockey players and successful in school, as well as sisters who are also young people who have been successful. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Now you're talking about whole family systems, right, that are involved in sport, athletics, and in higher education, and they are successful. So you're seeing that chain. And I think if you're listening, guys, now you're seeing what we're focusing on today. We're like, what's up with the grit? What's up with the focus? What's up with the perseverance? How do you get to that next level? And how do you reproduce this, if it can be reproduced, in your family? So you got PK, who I think he's playing with Nashville now. PK is like this awesome citizen in Canada, does a lot of wonderful things for kids and families out there. Happens to be dating Lindsay, Lindsey Vonn. You guys may not care about that. no comments on Lindsey. So that's who PK is, and that's who his family is. And I'm like, dude, they get it. Somebody told him the secret, you know? Another family, the Mannings, right? So you got their dad, and you got Peyton, and you got Eli.
Yeah.
You hear people say, like, oh, well, you know what? They got money, so they can just put their kids in that position to be successful like that. But I'm like, is it really about money, or is it something else?
No, I mean, look, well, first of all, there's no secret. There's no, like, it's all like, it's cool to like get you in the right kind of perspective maybe, or give you like the motivation, like watching like The Secret or reading the book, like The Secret. Uh-huh. But there is no The Secret. That's just such like BS. I want anyone listening to know that like there isn't no one's hiding anything from you. Like there's not like, especially in the information age, like it's all out there. It's just like, are you willing to discuss again? Like it comes back to what works for you. And are you willing to commit? But with the family stuff, like there's no doubt money opens doors. Like money, like you 100%, like if you have money, like you can't hide away from the fact that it's an advantage. Now it doesn't mean that you can necessarily do anything with it. Like, you have a door open, you still got to have like the talent. Like you're not going to make the Olympic Canadian hockey team if you don't have some talent. Like if you can't play.
Yeah. You know? Everybody remembers Michael Jordan and how great Michael Jordan was. But if you remember, he had two kids who tried to play ball and, well, didn't really work out so well. I mean, they went to college and played, but, you know.
Michael, I think, is the classic example of somebody who just works, like, until, like, there's just nothing left, you know, like, works to the bone. Like, I'm surprised you didn't see, like, a skeleton running around the court. I mean, he was, like, his picture should be next to work ethic. In the dictionary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's funny because I was reading something from one of his sons, and he didn't come out and say it directly. It was kind of like you had to read between the lines. But basically what he was saying was, I can't do what my dad did. Like, it's just, that's way too much commitment. I can't.
That's the thing. It's what it comes down to. I mean, I'm telling you, Charles, I wouldn't, like, I might be going out on a limb here, but I would not be surprised that if, like, everyone's heard the story, Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team, right?
Right.
I would not be surprised that if he did not get cut, like if he stayed on the team, that he would not have been Jordan.
Yeah, it wouldn't have driven him. It wouldn't have made him work harder.
You know, like it's just the right combination of things that you have. Yeah. And when it comes to family too, like that's a part of it. Like you have to have, I don't mean to say that you have to have the right setup, you have to have the support in place, but like if you don't, you have to perceive it in the right way. Like you have to be able to use it as motivation. And so much of that's why it's so individualized, because like you need challenge to grow. Yeah. You have to have adversity to grow.
Like Dwayne Wade, for example. Dwayne Wade, he had that adversity. He didn't grow up in that support system to be that good ball player. He kind of had to really, really focus on improving his skills, you know, at the high school level, and then being able to get to Marquette. There wasn't a whole lot of.
Yeah, I don't know his. I don't know his story.
He grew up with his grandmother, older grandmother, man. Just, you know, and it was Chicago, and it was rough house, and everything. Not the best environment. He didn't have a lot of supportive people around him, and he was just, you know, let me just do the next right thing and the next right thing, because this is where I want to be. This is where I see myself. This is where I'm going, and he got there. You know, and now, see, because people only know D. Wade. If you only know D. Wade now, you just think about this awesome support system. He's got his wife. He's got LeBron. He's done this. He's got all these rings. But you don't see the growth, right, from high school kid through Marquette and on and on and on. Mm. To your point, like even if you don't grow up in that support, with that support network and in that environment, you have to use the environment to retool your motivation so that it makes you work harder and you get out of that, you know, you still attain your goal. So yeah, there's a lot to it. It's a lot of those situations, man.
You know, there's I do some consulting work and some help with other businesses and brands, and so I do some writing and things there, and I won't tell you where it is because it's not out it's not out yet, but I'll share the idea with you that I just wrote about, and that's, I forget the quote that kind of sparked this idea in my head, but it's basically the idea that the best place to start is just exactly where you are, mm-hmm. because that's where you are because right. you can't start somewhere else, yep. no matter what. Like, this is something I say a lot, is anything that you ever will do, have done, or are doing right now, like anything that you have ever accomplished or will ever accomplish, is always done right now.
Right now. Yeah, that's right. Right now. And that's even for me, man, the title of my book, you know, starting where you are, I figured it out. Whatever it was I was going to be successful at, you know, it was like, you got to start with what you have. Like, this is what you got. This is what you got to use. Okay. Until you get to the next thing, this is what you got. It's like, that's it.
Yeah. And I don't want to gloss over that either, because like, I fall victim to it too, you know, and Charles, yeah. I'm like the, for the listeners, like Charles and me and anyone else, like, we're all human. Like, yeah. I just had someone give me, you know, a whoop down, like basically calling me on my BS because I didn't start a project that I was passionate about for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. Like, I fall victim to it, you know, but it's just, it doesn't change the answer. It doesn't change the truths. And it doesn't, like, it might not be easy to hear, but you just, it's exactly what you said, right? You got to start where you are.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, man, we're winding down, you know, time and everything. But Riley, yeah, great discussion, man. I mean, we could come back to it. Definitely. We need to come back to it because I think it's really helpful to be able to break down some of the psychological, some of the mental points, and then some of just the practical points, right? Turning it into practice, because I think a lot of people, they hear those bullet points and then they don't know how to, you know, turn them into practical things. Practical objectives. But if there were like 2-3 things, man, that you could throw out there for people, you know, in terms of starting where you are, but just staying, I don't even want to use the word committed, but what do you have for folks, man? Like, how can they get there?
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, no pun intended, but I think the first step is literally taking your first, it's just taking a step. So, you know, I think that perfectionism can get in the way. And actually, you know what? I think Gary Vaynerchuk talked about this. So I'm going to borrow his intellect here, but he talks about how perfectionism is really just a disguise for insecurity. Mm. And so if you say, oh, I want it to be perfect, it's like, well, if you really look at it, why you want it to be perfect? Why? Like, if you're not starting something, if you're not eating right, quitting smoking, apologizing to your wife, to your kids, to your boss, like, or, I mean, whatever it is, like, it doesn't matter. If you're not starting something because you have the excuse that you want to do it right, or it's not the right time, or whatever, it's really like, really what that comes down to is like, you'd feel insecure if you're not putting your best self out there. But I'll tell you what, not putting yourself out there at all is actually, you know, it might be painful to hear, but that is not your best. That is not your best. Right. And there's a difference too. There's a difference between your best, your absolute best, and your best right now. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and the difference is the circumstances, but you can't control your circumstances. So the only thing you can do, practical advice for you, is to focus on what you can control. And if that's only moving forward 1 inch, or if it's like, you know, getting out of bed to like brush your teeth or take a shower, I mean, it depends on what your situation is. You just got to be honest with yourself. So that's probably step two, which honestly might come first, but it's that self-awareness. I think that's a powerful combination, is being self-awareness and being honest with yourself to assess your situation, your circumstances, your, you know, where your head's at, just like, and something that can help with that too is ask a friend, ask a family member, ask a few of them. Get some feedback, you know, reflect, like, don't just reflect in your head, but ask some other people, or ask, you know, if you have faith, then ask, you know, the big guy upstairs, or whatever you call him. So I think that using that combination of self-awareness and then actually like executing on it and taking a step, even if it's just one single step, if, you know, those add up big time.
Absolutely. Hey guys, you all have been listening to Riley and Charles on today's show. As you guys know, we do a lot of different shows. We try to incorporate a little bit of everything for you guys. We know that everybody likes to hear something, and we spice it up a little bit for you. If you all enjoy what you heard, please, you can go to www.thebarbershopgroup.org. You can see more podcasts there. You can also donate right there on the website as well. We always appreciate, you know, continued support. If you'd like to get involved, sign up for our newsletters and blog posts and everything, all the podcasts that come out. When you sign up on the website, everything that happens on the website, you'll get an alert for. So it's great to be able to stay in touch with you all like that. If you have any feedback for us, by all means, hit us up at info@thebarbershopgroup.org. If you've got questions for Riley, you can email Riley@thebarbershopgroup.org. If you have questions for me, too, just send those to Riley. Yeah. But we just wanted to get a moment to spend some time with you all today before the Super Bowl. Man, Riley, I appreciate you coming in today. I know you got a lot of work ahead of you. But everybody out there, man, enjoy yourselves this weekend and take care of yourselves. Spend some time with your family and be well. Talk to you soon.